All right. Hello, everyone, and welcome to the second episode of the Button Mashers Realm. I am your DM and host, Ty the Button Masher. Welcome back, I guess. last episode, we were introduced to AJ and his character and saw what we got up to. So this episode is my second player, and that is Nick.
Hi, Nick.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Yeah.
yeah.
do you have anything to plug or anything?
Well, I guess the only thing I could do is so I guess I played with good old Ty here a year or so ago. We played D&D, and you actually was a player.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you're interested in watching Ty as a player, you can check out my YouTube, and it's on there. It's at Follow True Facts if you search on YouTube.
And that will also be in the show notes below or above, wherever it is on whatever app you're listening to this on. It'll be included, so you can just find that immediately.
Sorry.
Yeah. All right. So, pretty simple start. Let's see. Do you have some housekeeping to get up with for the normal podcast where we review books and games? We are taking a little break from that. It was mentioned on Twitter, but Nikki, the page turner of the group, is going through fire class, so she's working real hard and concentrating on that, becoming a firefighter, which is pretty cool in my opinion.
Very exciting.
Yeah. And besides that, pretty big news. We also recently got into the process of buying a house. So we're in the process of moving, which is a lot. So the normal, I guess, version of the podcast won't be coming back until early next year, like January, February. But we will be coming back strong and ready to go with those. And I will be doing the once a month D&D podcast until then and even past that, because I'm really excited for this. So, yeah, I'm pretty sure that's it. So let's get ready to roll. I don't know what the catchphrase is yet. Let's do this. Let's jump right in, shall we?
Awesome.
So, as we discovered in the last episode, the world of Anai is home to many walks of life, from caravans to those who wish to live in seclusion and many, many more in between. Of those, travelers wander the roads, some in search of answers, others in search of coin. Where do today's adventures fall? I suppose time will tell. First, we are introduced to a young elf named Arthur. He has shoulder-length blonde hair and brown eyes, still naive due to his relatively young age. Next is a rather peculiar warforged, Mark 2901. More on the slim side, this robot is ready to follow every command. Up next is the large orc Boris, stocky build, short black hair, and an always tired/bored look in his eyes. And finally, leading this group, Nick, if you would like to introduce your character.
So, leading the group, you would see a rather short, very skinny, very athletic build halfling. Unlike most halflings, however, this character you'd see has a rather long, full brown beard with slicked back brown hair. He has a fairer skin tone with almost pointed elf ear type. And you also see he has piercing blue eyes. He is wearing a fashionable, noble-like robe with a sort of like cape that's around his back, as he wields a short sword with the handle that's slightly bent forward in his hand. And this is Sir Christian Thorngage.
Thank you for introducing your character.
Absolutely.
I personally love it. So, currently, you and your troop are on the road to the caravan village of Black Hollow to meet with the captain of the guard, Azamar. You were told that they would be able to give you a job coin, possibly even help train the young elf, as he is still not great at many things. You are about to start your day and a half's travel away from Black Hollow. Starting your day, is there anything that you would like to do?
Well, I suppose I'd... Christian would start it off by, you know, giving commands to Mark 2904 to get rid of all the tents and all those items for from the nights before's rest. He would also command Boris to start getting the breakfast ready for the day's travel.
All right. So, let's see. Boris turns to you. He's wearing a sort of hooded long brown cloak. He usually has the hood up when he's traveling, but right now it's down. He just turns, looks at you, and just, oi, and starts setting up his cooking. Mark, on the other hand, turns to you, stands up very stiff, and is, right away, sir, and skitters away to start... packing up the tents and other sleeping supplies.
Awesome. I'd then turn to Arthur and go, all right, so as you can tell, that is how you take command and control of the battalion that you are in charge of.
And he's, you know, looking at you very excitedly. He's got this sort of childlike wonder in his eyes where he's just like, whoa, like he's just... amazed that people just listen to your every word. He's okay.
Well, you'll get this understood fairly well if you just follow my directions and stick along, and I suppose you'll find your way eventually. But I'll make something of you yet.
And his face just brightens up. He goes to set up what you've had him practice for the past couple days, just like his training with his bow and arrow.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he just goes off a little ways to go shoot and see how far he can get his arrows.
Yeah, after how does he do? Does he is he pretty good or is he missing a lot?
Well, it's a very makeshift target, obviously, because you are on the road. It's like a triangle, like, I guess, easel type thing with a cloth on it with a target painted on very crudely. And he's by no means hitting like dead center. He's hitting all around it, but he is staying fairly close to the target with his aim.
Not awful, Arthur. I suppose if this was an aminal, you might be able to kill it at the rate you're going.
Thank you, sir.
Don't get full of yourself just yet. I said might... Definitely doesn't mean you're going to kill it, especially at the rate you're going, you know, 5-6 shots. You don't want to waste all your arrows at once, do you?
Of course not. Of course not.
Mm-hmm. Now go pick him up and get ready for the next set.
Yes, sir. And he scurries off, head hanging a little low, seeming to be just beat, you know?
Yeah.
Just, oh. After a little while, Boris does... finish cooking, and he hands out his rations to everyone. Made enough for three, as Mark does not require food.
Mm-hmm. I can't say this is too awful, Boris. You've definitely made worse.
Hi, that I have, yeah. You're not gonna get any high society meal with me out here, but let me tell you, you'll get fed.
Yes. Not well, but fed. That is one word for it. Thank you.
He just chuckles and just swallows, or chews and swallows his food.
Awesome.
Mark finishes packing the tents in and bedrolls all in their neat little piles. It's like three separate, perfectly lined up piles, almost identical.
It's a good thing to see that your programming hasn't gone full out yet. Good, I don't want to really buy another one.
I should certainly hope not, sir.
Yes, I don't really have the coin for it either, so don't break down on me, please.
I will try my best. Just make sure to keep the dirt out of my joints, please.
Yeah, Arthur, be sure to tidy up on Mark 2901, please.
Yes, of course.
All right. Just gonna do one of those, like, heroic stances where I put, like, both arms across my, on my hips and look around and be like, all right, now, if you guys are finally done messing around, we could, hit the road, get the show on, huh?
And, Arthur runs up next to you, ready to go. Standing quite a bit over you because, the height, you know, difference, but, in a weird way, looking at you as if he were looking up to you, like, very, you know, like, honorably.
Absolutely.
Boris puts his hood up, grabs the three stacks that Mark made from the tents and bedrolls and puts them into a, like, a bag and throws it over his shoulder.
Good thing I'm getting my use out of you as well, huh? Look towards Boris when I say that.
Of course, and he just looks at you, no change in facial expression, he just nods.
All right, well, on to our next town then, huh?
Mark is ready to go. Arthur nods very excitedly, and Boris just stands there, ready to, like, just ready for you guys to start going.
All right, and I start leading the way forward down the, I presume it's a road, or like a path, or something, at least like that.
Yeah, it's I'll say a dirt road, very common. Currently, you are in a more open, plain-type area with it's a very cool day. I would compare it to spring weather.
Okay.
A few clouds here and there in the sky, but a rather sunny day.
No, that's nice. Has it, so I presume we've been on the path for like at least a few days now, right?
Yes, yeah, a day or two, yeah.
Have we seen other people along the path, or has it been pretty much us alone?
You've seen a few caravan type, like, carts go past, and that's really been it.
Okay. All right. Well, let's get the move on and make this another boring day.
At least we get to see something new every day, right?
Boris says to you.
Yeah, if you like trees, I guess. But I don't have as quite of a great imagination as someone like you does, Boris, but whatever your people does, it's fine. Let's just go.
Right. And y'all just start moving along the path fairly easy. The terrain is, as I mentioned earlier, quite flat, with like trees dotting the plains every now and again. You can see the distant mountain range of Enheim off in the distance, with its grand forestscape at its base. Could you actually now make a perception check for me?
Ooh, first roll.
Yes.
Let's see what we can get. All right, got a solid 10. What that brings that up to a 14.
A 14. Okay, so about 45 minutes to an hour in your travel, you hear this strange, it sounds like a, and then a loud bang in the distance. You're not entirely sure what direction it came from, and the bang was more of like, almost sounded like lightning or thunder doing cracking.
Well, that's an interesting one. Any of you lots ever hear anything like that?
Boris just shrugs. Mark shakes his head, and Arthur's like, not quite, except during storms, but it's not a stormy day.
All right. So, and I get out like a gold piece in my pocket and look at the others. All right. Heads, we'll go investigate it. Tails, we'll just continue on the path. And I flip the coin. And let's see. And it lands and it is tails. All right. Well then, let's go.
All right. So, yeah, with that, you continue down the road for another half hour, and up on the side of the road is a cart, just a full-sized cart with four wheels, some stairs leading up to a door, which you presume is to enter.
Mm-hmm.
And a small sign you can see hanging off of the side above the door.
Hmm. What does the sign say? Can I read it, or is it like a picture or something?
Yeah, so as you do get closer, you see a pretty worn sign, like a well-worn sign. It's been around for a while, and it reads the words, Madame Tort's Mystic Emporium, and you can see crudely drawn on there the word scythes.
Great. Now, does the wagon look like abandoned, or does it look like, has there been like signs of life? Does it look like something along that line?
Oh yeah, it looks almost like brand new. It looks well taken care of, like it's obviously seen use. But strangely enough, there's no animals like around it that could pull it.
Well, what do you make of this, Arthur? Do you want to go in, or do you say we leave it?
I mean, there's always been stories about this traveling merchant that every day she arrives in an area, she's selling something new. No one knows how she gets there, but she's always there. And this could be her, or it could be a coincidence.
Well, you Boris, you interested in this?
I mean, what could it hurt? If it's bad, we leave. If not, we can sit and have a chat, yeah?
All right, I suppose. Like, go up to, like, the door of the wagon and just give it a few knocks at the door.
From the inside, you hear a,
And I turn around and, like, whisper to him, like, this is on you kind of thing.
This is on you. Like, point at him. There's actually just a really big smile on Boris's face. He is so happy right now.
So it's prime, yeah, I imagine.
Yeah. All right, so, do you head inside? Do you stay at the door?
Well, I'm going to wait till someone, like, is the door, like, unlocked? Like, can is it, like, a... I guess, how do I, is it like a solid door? Is it like a glass door where I can like see inside or something?
It's a, yeah, so it's, it is a fully framed, door, but, about, I want to say halfway up, there is a glass, just a square glass window, and then a small gap of wood, and then a, glass that goes with the shape of the rest of the door.
And I'm just going to assume, because I'm vertically vertically challenged, that I cannot see to this window, correct?
Correct, yeah.
Of course, they don't have enough short enough window for me. All right. And I'm just going to open up the door.
All right. So, yeah, you open up the door, and as you open it up, it hits a bell that is hanging from the top of it. Chitling, you know. And on the inside, it's... a lot bigger than what it looks like on the outside. There is this grand regal carpet on the floor that leads up to a counter Decorating all of the walls are shelves. And on every single shelf, except for the counter, you can see a multitude of scythes. And sitting behind the counter is a very, very old, like wrinkles everywhere, razorback turtle woman. Okay. What you can see on a few of her back, like shell spikes, are like rings, like jewelry.
Okay.
And she's just kind of sitting, looking off to the side, not your direction where you're coming in. She's looking at the wall that would be to the left of the door, just sitting there.
I'm going to go in and look at her, see she's not looking at me at all. I'll look towards... Okay, did the others follow me inside, or is it just myself at this point?
Arthur did, Mark and Boris stayed outside.
I figured.
Yeah.
All right, Arthur, this is your shopping adventure. See any Siths you'd like since... Or any other crap?
Not really quite my tools of the trade. And at this moment, you can see the turtle behind the desk shakily turn her head to you and just looks at you. Ah, yes, welcome. Welcome to Madame Torch Mystic Emporium and Scythes. How can I help you today?
Well, I suppose my companion here, told me, about some of your wares, and, I suppose it's piqued my interest for the time being.
Yeah, you've got a very smart friend there. Yes, yes, I have many items. Of course, those items range over a time period. Obviously, it's Scythe today.
So it looks it. Tell me, what's so special about your scythes?
Well, they range from your common scythe to those of great power. Some I don't even know what they do.
All right. I'm sorry. Why scythes? Aren't they just common farming equipment?
You know, some days I like to keep everything fresh, and I haven't sold scythes before, so I was giving this one a shot.
Right. So any other items or services you do other than being a scythe seller?
Yes, of course, yes. Any time you see me, the stock will be different, but a general thing that... I have in this lovely place of mine is potions, elixirs. I also have this doll, and she picks up this stuffed doll that she sits there. It's not creepy by any means, besides being a doll.
Yeah,
but yeah, it looks fairly like a child's play doll, you know.
Okay. All right. I can't say I've had the need for a doll. Arthur, I know you're a bit younger, but you don't play with those anymore, do you?
I never did.
Okay, well, if you really want the doll, you can get it. I'll turn around if it makes you feel better.
Oh, I think you'd love this one. It's the story behind it is wonderful, actually.
Save me the pleasantries.
It is one copper for you, but only you. And like she brings up her big, a large hand. She is a very large woman, being a turtle, mm-hmm. And she's like pointing, but it's shaking all over the place. But generally at you.
I'm sorry. I don't have much use for a doll.
Well, it seems like it likes someone in your group, and as you look, the doll is head has slightly turned, looking in yours and Arthur's direction.
You're not going to let me leave unless I buy this doll off for you, are you?
Oh, you're a smart one.
Right, alright, I suppose I can give you a copper piece for it, and I'll flick over a copper piece.
She surprisingly, really quickly, grabs the copper piece from the air and sets it down and hands the doll off to, or holds her hand out, and Arthur looks at you, unsure if he's the one to grab it or if you're going to grab it.
I look at Arthur and be like, you're the one who wanted it.
He very nervously, like, head pulling back and just side-eyeing it, reaches for it, hands trembling, picks it up, and then just holds it, like, arm's length out.
Well, all right, so anything else we are destined to have?
Oh, I don't think so. That doll just seemed to really like you. It likes the trembling one, too. It's going to have a lot of fun with him.
Right. Well, this was a waste of time. Thank you very much. I start my way outside the door.
Arthur, very quickly, just like behind you, still holding the doll at arm's length. Like he is just petrified by this thing. And she goes, I'll see you again, I'm sure of it.
I doubt it. And I walk out.
All right. You open up the door, the chilling ching, and you both go out there to Mark and Boris, just standing there. Boris is looking, scanning the landscape. Mark has just, he's standing, just staring straight off into the distance, not moving.
Just idling.
Yep, he is idling, literally.
Literally an NPC. Just
crazy enough, when you opened up the door to go inside, you heard doo-doo-doo-doo.
Yeah.
But as you walk out, Mark reactivates essentially and turns to you and it's like, hello, master.
Hello, Mark 2904.
Boris, what is he carrying?
Is he still holding it like?
Oh, yeah. He has not put it out. Or he has not pulled it closer. He's just holding it straight out.
Gonna side eye him, maybe like, give me that.
Oh, you take the doll from him?
Yeah.
All right. Yep. It, you know, it ragdolls, literally, because it's a doll. And it's just in your hands.
Okay, I'm gonna hold it so like only like one hand and like as late as it's like the less amount of fingers I can just hold it.
Oh, okay, like, so like by like your index finger and thumb just holding it.
Yeah, like I don't want to touch this. I'll go over. Mark, put this in Arthur's items.
Right away, sir. And he goes and he goes behind Arthur, opens up his pack, and just throws the doll in there and closes it. And Arthur's like, huh?
It's a doll, Arthur.
You saw the thing's head move.
It's called she moved it with her fingers, Arthur.
I don't...
It's a doll. I know you grew up being some rich, hosh-posh man, but believe it or not, most dolls don't move their heads on their own.
Yeah, weird ones do, though. That I know.
Trust me, there's nothing weird about the doll. The only thing that's weird that it was sold by that turtle.
Alright, y'all. You lot done with arguing about a doll?
Yeah, for now.
Glad to see Arthur got himself a friend, finally.
Arthur just looks at him like, are you fucking kidding me right now?
Just gonna... Christian just kind of like lets out a kind of chuckle. I mean, that's actually kind of a good one, Boris. I'll give you that.
Yeah, I've been waiting for the right time to use it.
Yeah, I bet you've been thinking of that one for weeks.
Don't give me too much credit. It's been like a day or two at most.
Right. All right. You see anything weird while we were away, Boris? Anything interesting, exciting?
Nope. I'm going to be real honest. This landscape's kind of boring.
All right. Well, I suppose it's time we continue on. And hopefully we'll be able to end our journey by the night's end or so.
Yeah, hopefully. What we were looking at this good old schedule that we had planned. It's looking like we might have to stop one more time before we actually make it there.
All right. Well, I suppose another night of your food won't... Well, it might kill me, but... That's another thing. All right, so let's just move on.
He smirks at your mention of his cooking, and you continue on.
Awesome.
Yeah. So, for most of the day, you traveling the road, surprisingly or not so surprisingly, as you've noticed. Not that populated. You do know that this part of the region is more of literally just used to transport caravans of goods. That's mostly what this area has been laid to, because the land has shown not to be fertile, and you know, most towns don't pop up around here. Let's see. So, yes, you do continue. I would say about an hour and a half into the trek past Madame Tort's cart, you do hear that strange noise that emitted before you walked up to it. You do hear it come back from the direction of the cart.
I'll be honest, this is kind of piquing my curiosity.
Yeah, that's it's not a common noise here, yeah?
No. I'm pushing on time as it is, but... Oh, what the hells? Might as well. Alright, let's go check it out. And I'll see if I can... find the direction of where that noise came from.
Oh yeah, sure. Yep. Roll a perception check.
Alright, come on, baby. Oh, got an 11 this time. So 15.
Alright, yeah, perfect. So, yeah. I might have let this slip a little earlier, but whatever. Let's see. Yeah, you did hear that from the direction that the Madame Tort's cart was.
Mm-hmm. But... I'll start in that direction then.
All right.
See if I can find the source of the noise.
All right. While you are heading back, Boris kind of gives an elbow shove to Arthur and goes, "Hey, maybe it's the doll, yeah, making all that noise." And Arthur just, and like tightens up his little cloak that he's got and just kind of not happy with the whole scenario.
Just do like a quick turnaround and be like, "Arthur, if you're so worried about the doll, we can throw it away. I didn't really care about it, all right? It was a copper piece. Your father's paying me way more to look after you. Plenty more where it came from."
Yeah, you're probably right. And he takes off his bag, opens it very slowly and looks. He reaches his hand in, pulls out the doll. And, like, looks at you. What should I do with it?
Do you not know how to use a hand, Arthur? Pick it up, drop it on the ground.
And he, like, goes off to the side a little bit and just drops it into the grass that's just off of the road.
All right, see, was that so hard?
All right, let's go. And he just, like, kind of scurries forward.
Oh, God. All right, let's go.
All right. So you continue before a decent way backtracking a little bit to investigate the noise. Could you make another perception check for me?
Man, good thing I have I'm decent at perception. Ooh, I got a 19.
Ooh.
So that would be a 23.
All right, yeah. Since you heard the noise the second time, nothing has come up. Like, you haven't heard the noise. Nobody seems to be reacting to any danger. Doesn't seem like anything has happened recently since that noise.
So am I able to tell, like where the noise has came from? Like, I know it's in the direction of the cart, but do I know, like, what the source is?
No. You are unsure at this time. And, well, actually, we're going to have Arthur. Arthur gets to make a roll.
Who, Arthur? Come on, man.
Yeah, let's go, Arthur. I have to bring up his stats. Yes, I made him a character sheet.
I absolutely love that. I love that I'm making you do all this work.
Yeah. Yes, my whole plan.
My whole plan.
All right. Let's see. Where is it? He rolled a 16 total.
Ooh, ooh, ooh.
I know this might sound like a crazy idea, but do you think it was her cart?
I suppose that would make the most sense if that's where it came from. You want to go back in there then? Buy another doll?
No. I don't think we need to investigate it anymore.
All right, and I start heading my way towards the cart.
Fair enough. All right. So you're heading towards the cart, yeah?
Yeah.
All right. So, so you were able to travel pretty far from it, but yeah, you continue the whole way, and the cart's not there. At least it doesn't seem... This seems like the spot that you were in.
Well, that was a waste of time. Great idea, Boris. You just cut off another 30 minutes from our travels.
What's a little more walking?
More gold for me.
He just, for our not visual listeners, because everyone's audio listeners, he just kind of puts his hand up and just like shrugs. I realize I made that like emotion and yeah. Just gesture.
I saw it.
Yeah, you saw it. You get what I'm talking about. I'll just post that. I'll just post me doing the look on Instagram when this when this airs. Just
the look. All right. So I'm standing like in the spot of where the cart was supposed to be.
Yes.
Okay. All right. Well, let's go back then. Start going back on the road towards where we came from.
All right. Yeah. And you hear? No, I'm kidding.
Piss off.
Yeah. Yeah. So you you continue walking. You get back to the point of where you heard the noise.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. When you got to the area, the point of road where Arthur dropped the doll off, you could tell that he made a wide berth of that area. Just like...
Look back at him. Arthur, it's a doll.
I don't trust it.
Oh my gosh. Just keep walking.
Who knew fear of dolls was a phobia?
Honestly, it's a children's toy.
Well, I mean, at least it's not one of them porcelain ones that, like, stare at you with the creepy eyes, right?
Yeah, I would understand it more, other than a literal peasant's toy. Whatever. Just getting fed up with Arthur.
Yeah, and Arthur is just like, you can tell he's annoyed, but also defeated because he knows how ridiculous this is, but he can't shake it. He's just like, this thing, this doll decreased his lifespan by like 100 years. He's just
poor guy.
Yeah.
Defeated by a doll.
Yeah, you know, happens to the best of us.
Honestly, though.
So, you continue down the road for the rest of the day, not really seeing anybody. It does get to sunset.
All right. I suppose we should start looking for a preferred place to rest for the evening. Mark, do you find any suitable spots?
I shall scan ahead, sir. And he kind of starts. It's not really a waddle, but it's kind of an awkward walk where he's very jointed, being a robot, and just forward.
Hasn't gotten oiled in a while.
It's been a bit. He's you can tell he's a little creaky. Not as limber as he used to be. And he continues, and about after like 5-10 minutes, he stops and turns around to you. He does this really fun thing where his leg lifts, he turns around completely, and then the head follows. I have found a favorable spot, sir.
Oh, great. Start setting up the tents, then.
Very well. Boris? Boris just looks at him, still the tired look in his eye, slumps off the bag, and just kind of throws it at him. There you go, you tin can. And the force that this hits Mark at would normally knock the general person just over.
Mm-hmm.
But when Mark catches it, doesn't even just because for being a small, like slim warforged, he is still pretty heavy. He's made out of metal.
Mm-hmm.
So he is able to stand his ground very well to that.
He is built different.
He's built different. Built Mark tough. Put that on a shirt.
It's a new advertising for it's a new Ford truck coming out.
Built Mark tough. Oh man. So he goes to work setting up the tents and what have you, laying out the bedrolls evenly. Boris goes to making his fire pit to cook some food. And Arthur is just kind of standing there watching Mark work.
Oh, cool. Is there like a nice log or something that's sittable?
Oh yeah, very close to the, it's actually, you can tell that Boris was probably going to use this to sit on to cook his food, or the food.
Mm-hmm.
But
yeah, I was just going to go over, sit down, and kind of like rub my forehead in the, you know, like, God, how did I end up here? End up here, kind of. Exactly, like, yeah. Why is this your life?
And Boris, like, as he's stoking the fire, turns and looks at you on the log that he was going to sit at and goes, "Hey, don't worry, boss, we've all been there." Continues poking at the fire.
Yes, I suppose we have, but unfortunately, Boris, some of us go up in the world and rarely go down.
Yeah, well, if you've always been on the bottom, it's not a bad place to be. Who needs all the fancy clothes and parties and, you know, castles?
It does make life a bit more interesting, Boris. Wouldn't expect you to understand, but it does make things a bit interesting.
Yeah, I suppose, but, you know, if you were to live a little rough every now and again, you'd understand how to take care of yourself. Not saying that you don't, of course.
Right. What's on the menu for the night?
Let's see. You've got a wonderful menu. You've got two great options. You can either get muck or slop.
Great. Just put my head in my hands. Great.
I used to eat like a king.
How is this my life now?
How the fuck?
How did I end up here?
Oh, money is a thing.
Oh.
So after a bit, Boris slops on to into a wooden bowl that you are very used to eating out of at this point, and just passes it to you. It doesn't look bad, or it doesn't look disgusting. It doesn't look great by any means, but this one actually has a little bit of color. It's not the usual grayish type color scheme that you're used to. He then hands the next bowl to Arthur, who just looks at it and is just, oh my god.
Boris, take this the nicest way as you possibly can. But you need to learn how to cook better.
I've learned how to cook to keep people alive, not to make them happy.
That is your problem.
Eh.
Because I would rather be dead than eat this one more night, Boris.
Well, you've only got the one more night, right? We're almost there. But if it makes you feel any better, he goes down and picks up some weird looking, I want to say, best way to describe it, a plant with a green flower on it. Okay. If you want to make a nature check to know exactly what this is.
Yeah, let's see if I can.
All right.
Figure. Ooh, 18.
18
plus
3, so. Ooh. Yeah, so, you know, first off, you know it's not poisonous.
That is a great sign off the bat.
Yes, so this is a, it's a wild spice meant to add just a tint of flavor to most dishes. You do know that it can be eaten completely raw, and the flower petals are just beautiful.
All right, give me some of that.
All right, he hands it to you. Drop a few leaves in there.
My gray mush, well, colorful gray mush.
Yeah. And once you get done, you toss it off to the side because there's not much picking, and Arthur like looks up to grab it from you, but as you toss it to the side, he just kind of
Did you want the rest of that?
I'm sure I'll be fine.
Really? You wanted the rest of that?
No, it's fine.
Oh my gosh. Arthur, I do not understand you.
I've got to learn to be a little more, I guess, able to stomach the worst.
Arthur, get this clear into your head. You are, for what you are training for and what you're supposed to be learning, this is not what you're going to be eating the rest of your life. And this, and I'll point towards Boris, is not who's going to be serving you the rest of your life.
He turns, looks at you, smiles real big, and then just grabs his bowl and pours all of it into his mouth and just chews, swallows.
That is who eats that. We do not.
It's good for you. Get a little meat on his skinny bones.
I'll just walk away.
And Boris leans back, sitting on the ground, and just kind of leans back, pulls out a deck of playing cards, and just starts shuffling them, kind of looking up at the sky, which in this world you know not to be the classic black that like we would see here. Mm-hmm. It's got this rather interesting like variants of pink and blue that kind of fade through the sky, and just many stars dot the skies.
Huh. All right. Well, I suppose we'll rest for the evening and head out again tomorrow morning, huh?
Yeah, sounds about right. What do you want the
the watch schedule to be? Who do you want watch and when?
Look towards Arthur, look towards Boris, and look towards Mark. All right, Arthur, Boris, you can take the first. I can see you're comfortable and are ready to start playing your card deck. Then you'll go for a few hours. Mark can go out for a few hours, and I'll have Arthur keep me company for the last shift.
Ooh. Right. Sounds good to me. Sleep well.
Mm-hmm. And don't kill me while you're sleeping, please.
I'm getting paid way too much to be wanting to do that.
Oh, you're so simple. I love it.
And he just nods his head just like, meh.
Just accepting.
Oh, yeah.
Stockholm syndrome's to kick in.
He's just like, yeah, I'm getting paid. Fuck it. All right. So, begin sleeping. Being with how you've been traveling and how you aren't used to the bed rolls at this point, but you're still, you know, able to fall asleep fairly quickly. You aren't waking up until it is your shift. You're poked just once by Mark. Just
I'd love it. just Mark with metal fingers like <Pink! straight> in. Mark, you need to learn something. It's called, you can wake me up by your voice next time, just so you know that.
Very well.
All right, anything to report?
Nothing. The night was very, very clear.
Very good. All right. You can enter your rest mode, then.
Thank you. He walks to the outside of the tent. There are only three tents, so you do hear a bit of... And he enters rest mode.
Great. Awesome. Is Arthur up then, too?
Yes, he is slowly getting out of his bedroll, rubbing his eyes from being exhausted from these past couple of days. Just looking miserable.
Never related to an NPC as much as I did.
I feel that. Arthur is just a personification of me, really.
Didn't even have to write up a character. You're like, oh my gosh, this is myself?
Yeah, oh wait, man, I hate dolls.
You're not even acting. You're just like...
This is me.
This is literally your feelings just being expressed.
This was me this morning. No.
I suppose I'll go sit on the log where I was earlier.
Mm-hmm.
Just kind of not like put all my focus in it, but like, you know, kind of like half-ass it. Or I'll like just kind of sit there, look at the fire a little bit, and like just peer around. Because I, in my head, I'm like, nothing's gonna happen.
Mm-hmm. So, definitely.
Exactly. So.
Yeah. Yeah. So Arthur walks up. As you noticed, it appears that Boris actually found two more stumps, like just or like small logs,
mm-hmm.
Just the like one pieces of them, and put one opposite you on the fire and one a little closer to you to the left, and Arthur chose the one that's closer to you.
Okay.
He's just sitting there, more just kind of zoning out at this point, looking into the fire.
All right, Arthur, how do you think your training is going?
As good as it could be under these conditions, I suppose.
All right, that's fair enough for me. That's what I'm about. Adequate teaching.
Yes, you've been teaching me very well, also given the conditions.
Yes. You know, I did fairly well for myself. I was, you know, I don't know if your father's told much about what I've done for him in his kingdom, I suppose that's what you can call it. But, you know, I was quite the warman back years ago.
No, he just told me a trained soldier was coming to teach me the ways of war and the proper training to be a knight.
Oh yes, yes. I was well, they don't give out the title of sir to anyone, do they?
Well, I suppose not. No.
No, of course not. They see, I was a knight for your father for many years. I did a bit of espionage. That was some fun times. You know, while I was doing my rounds gathering information for your father, I it's my looks and, you know, just how I am, you know, a little bit of a playboy here and there, but, you know, 'tis life, Arthur.
Wow. That's
how the mighty have fallen.
Well, hopefully after this, we won't have to live under these conditions. He just kind of like looks around, just defeated still.
Like that awkward moment where like someone just going off about their life story, just like, okay, I don't know what to go.
Yeah. awkward. could you quick make a perception check for me?
All right. Oof. That's a 9.
A 9. All right. Is that the total?
Yes.
All right. All right. That is a very common roll for Arthur, apparently.
Oh, did he get the same thing?
I rolled another 13 plus... Oh, he got a 15 this time.
Oh.
And as you're sitting there talking, he's still focused in on the fire, and you see him sort of do one of those little startled jump back things in his seat, just
what?
And he points at the stump on the other side of the fire from you.
Alright, I look towards the direction at the stump.
Alright, and in you see the flames kind of coming up and dancing around in the fire pit. It's still a very strong fire for the night. Both Boris and Mark have kept it going very well. In between a flame, you think you see the face of the doll sitting there on the dump, on the stump, just whoosh, then it's gone. Then the flame comes back and it's there, and the flames keep going, dancing, and it looks like it's still there, just sitting there across from you.
Arthur, is that what I think it is?
I was really hoping you wouldn't see it too.
It appears that, well, that friend of yours that we met that you bought this doll with, that it... And I'm just gonna kind of like kick some dirt to try to like scuff out the fire, kind of.
Okay, yeah, so you kick it and the fire's... And once you look up from where you kicked into the... flame and you look back up, it's gone.
There we go, problem solved.
Okay. That's uncomfortable.
It was a bit weird, I'll give you that. But it's still a doll in my mind.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's just a doll. So for the rest of the watch, nothing else really occurs
as we sit in total darkness and for the most part silence.
Yeah.
Occasionally after once a 20 minutes or so, I'll be like, Arthur, you're still awake, right?
Yes. I can't sleep after that.
Good. And that's it.
Okay. Yep. So the sun begins to raise over the horizon, and as soon as this happened, Mark just reactivates and walks over. Hello, sir. Good morning.
It is morning. You got that part right. Whether or not it's good, up for debate, but start packing up stuff. We'll be wanting to head out soon.
very well. And he begins walking over and packing everything up. And Boris, of course, gets out and looks at you. Hungry?
About as much as one can with your slump, yes.
Very well, I'll cook up a nice breakfast for you.
All right, sure.
And he goes over. What happened to the fire?
Arthur saw a doll in it last night.
Oh, that's just the lack of sleep.
Tell me, what would you think if I said I also saw the doll in the fire last night as well?
I'd say I might have accidentally gave you the wrong plant to spice up your meal last night.
That's fair. That's fair.
But if you saw it, then you saw it. That's fair. I'm not going to question it.
Right. Let's get a move on. I'm going to go show Arthur something. I presume you can start your fire.
Yep, you got it. And he sits down, pulls out the pan that he usually cooks stuff in, and you see him grab some eggs, crack them, and begin cooking them when the fire's ready to go.
So you actually do have food in that pack, huh?
Yep, we're saving this for a special occasion, the last day of travel.
Indeed, it is a special occasion it is. I might actually be looking forward to your cooking for once, Boris.
Glad to hear it. He begins just cooking away.
This man can take so much stuff.
My mental capacity is draining every second.
It's like one of those things where he like holds the dagger like at the body at the middle of the night, like, not today, not today.
Hold it back, hold it back, hold it back.
Where's Arthur in all of this?
He is just kind of doing morning routines, you know, more cardio and athletic type training rather than aim.
How does it look? Like, is he like, whenever you say he's doing cardio, is he doing like push-ups and like jumping jacks kind of thing, or is he doing like with his sword out?
He's doing more of the like jumping jacks, running back and forth between two places. When he's doing his jogging, very, very clean, very smooth running, as elves are known to be, mm-hmm. very agile. When he gets to the push-up, he struggles a bit. Like, the first five are great, but then he kind of starts to struggle more and more as he keeps going.
It's all right, Arthur. As long as you get run away from the beasts, it doesn't matter.
Yes, you don't have to be the fastest, you just have to be not the slowest.
You're right, and luckily for you, we have Boris.
Hmm?
Oh, nothing.
Hmm.
So, what do you want to work on for this morning?
Honestly, I was just thinking some cardio. I didn't really want to push myself hard, seeing as we'll be possibly meeting with the head of the guard, the captain of the guard.
That's fair, sir. All right, continue on then.
Yes, sir. And he continues on.
I'll just kind of sit and watch and definitely point out any imperfections.
Oh, of course.
And just kind of silently wait for breakfast.
Yeah, so with that, Boris, after not too long, actually, says, breakfast is ready. And he puts on into the bowls some rice with eggs, and the egg lays on top of the rice.
It's not it's actually beyond edible this time, Boris.
You've had rice every night. I don't know what's so special about it. It's the egg. Gotcha.
Yes, believe it or not, I think if you add a few eggs to a meal once in a while, I think Well, it might make this journey more bearable for both of us.
Yeah, I suppose. It's a good thing we're going into the town, because those were my last ones, so...
And, yes. This time, we are not skimping out on the ingredients.
No worries. I'm using my payment especially for that.
Right. And before we leave, I would also like to check your inventory to make sure that it will be all set. And I'll, if not, I could throw in some gold to make this better for all of us.
Very well. I'm not going to say no to that.
No, I can't imagine why you would.
So, with that, is there anything else you would like to do before you set out?
No, I suppose, I would do some exercise as well. Mm-hmm. Get myself a little warmed up, stretch a little bit, and then I'd get myself ready. Well, I would tell other people to get everything packed up and be ready.
Very well, yeah. Perfect. So as you are doing the running and stretching, Arthur looking at you like, how the fuck is he doing this so perfectly? Like, just in shock. He's like, what? And Mark packed up everything identically to how it was last time. And Boris, again, crudely throws them into his bag and puts it over his shoulder.
Love this.
Yeah. Two very different personalities with those two. Perfection, meh.
God, this composition is amazing.
I'm glad you enjoy. While you guys finish up, Boris kicks out the fire. And gets ready for you to start leading the troop.
All right, I'll start leading the way down the path. A little bit more happiness in my step as I realize, oh, it's the last day. I get a break.
Yeah, for sure. So yeah, you're doing that. Boris walking how he normally does. Let's see, Mark at the very back of the troop, and Arthur just walking, still kind of defeated, just tired.
Mm-hmm.
Just
Arthur?
Yes?
Why are you acting like that?
Acting like what?
Like a puppy that was beaten.
I'm just tired. I'm ready to get to town, is all. And he gives you a, half smile.
Right. Go forward.
You hear just the slightest chuckle just from Boris.
Keep walking.
All right. So about an hour into your, after about an hour of travel, you do see a large cluster of trees, with the road going through the middle of them up ahead.
Hmm.
So it would, the road continues straight, and on either side of the road, becomes forest.
All right. How exciting. Trees. Isn't this what you wanted, Boris?
A change of scenery? You're right.
Yes, yes. More trees. How shocking. All right, and I'll take... So you said it's like the trees in the center where the path is, and like the path like goes straight, but like around the clump of trees? Is that what it is?
No, so there is the road continues straight, and then on both sides of road.
I gotcha.
Yeah.
Okay, so we just entered like a forest kind of patch in the...
Exactly, yep.
Okay. All right, well, Arthur, here's a point of your lesson. Keep an eye out. There might be some meat we can kill for food in the future.
Is there anything specific I should be looking for?
Things that move. Probably for the best.
All right.
Preferably nothing that stands up on two legs. I'm not into that kind of stuff.
I don't think most are.
Hey, it's not that bad.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I thought. if you see it, call it out. If not, well, so be it.
Okay, sounds good.
And I'll start walking, again, kind of half-assing, looking about.
Mm-hmm. For sure, for sure. Yeah, so on your path, you don't really see much in the way of, like, movement. It's, I mean, of course, the wind, the soft breeze is blowing the trees, just kind of
mm-hmm.
But nothing in the way of movement. Do hear, like, birds off in the distance chirping. Some you're familiar with, like, with your simple songbirds. Others you could think to be birds of prey of some sort. But nothing too out there from what you hear. Arthur has pulled out his bow.
Okay.
And he's not really, like, ready to go, but he does have an arrow notched, and he's just kind of looking around, looking for anything. He's looking up into the trees and then, like, scanning past the trunks and all that.
Notice anything?
No. Haven't noticed anything yet.
Well, I suppose that makes things easier.
Yeah. Yeah. It would. As you continue down the path, it goes at a slight decline. Mm. But it's not like a sheer drop. It's just a nice little low down. As you kind of notice this, you're getting into the more hilly part of the region.
Okay.
And you come across this, I want to say, a large gate door type structure made out of wood and, like, logs in the very middle of the pathway.
How tall is it?
It is about 10 feet tall.
Right.
And it stretches the entire width of the road, leaving small gaps for the trees. Like, it's got a few feet in between the trees and its edge.
Who would build this in front of the path?
Boris puts his arm on your shoulder and points to the left side of it. And from that, you see a young human man appear from around. And he seems to be sharpening a dagger.
Well, 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 look what we have here. An unlucky group of adventurers.
I'm sorry, is this your gate?
Oh, this old thing? Yes, yes it is.
All right. Can you close it?
Close it? I believe it's already closed.
I'm sorry, open it. So I can.
Oh, for that's going to be a hefty fee for you. See, We have set up a little bit of a toll here.
We? Who is we?
Well, if you don't pay, I'm sure you'll find out. And at this moment, Boris lowers his hood and walks past you.
Open the gate, little man.
Yes, as you can tell, to my friend here. And then I, like, pause for a second thinking about the word friend. My... just standing there, like, just, for a second. Yeah. My employee is not too happy, so open the gate and let's just say I forget about the problem.
Oh, that's so unfortunate for you. You've got your big tough employee here, and he puts in quotes, like the air quotes, and. You happen to be very outnumbered. And at this moment, you see somebody walk on the other side of the door to your right. Two appear from the trees beside you, and then two appear behind you.
All right. What do you want?
Well, you seem very capable. Let's make it a simple 1,000 gold between you.
You're funny. Oh, you're really funny.
I'm funny. I don't think I'm joking. Do you? And the one across from him just stone face shakes his head no.
I'm look towards Boris and be like, I thought it was quite funny. What about you?
Well, I find him to be getting on my nerves a little bit.
Oh, that's unfortunate. Well, you see here, my friend, and look towards this bandit guy.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me, what's your name?
What's that?
What's your name?
What's my name? My name's not important, especially to you.
I mean, I would just like to know what to mark your grave with.
At this moment, he pulls out his sword, his short sword, and roll for initiative, please.
Yeah. I love it. Great.
And there you go. Boom, I know it's a little dark. So
I can see it, but I love it.
Boris, Arthur, you, and Mark.
Cool. At least I'm very easily able to point out.
Yes.
So let me just do a quick look up a roo thing. Mm-hmm. Do you want me to roll the initiatives for these guys, or would you rather do it yourself?
I can do either or. If it makes your life easier, I suppose I can help you out.
Honestly, I was just going to roll one for all of them and add their separate modifiers, but
I'll roll for the excitement of myself then.
All right. Love it.
Never mind. I got a nat one, so that is awesome.
All right, so let me just quick bring up there.
I myself, however, got a 17, so...
You got a 17. All right, so that leaves it to be... you're going first.
Okay, awesome.
Okay, it'll be you, and then it'll be... let me quick roll the... All right, my luck precedes me. The bandits are going after you.
Shut up. What did you get?
Rolled a 5. So it goes Arthur.
Oh no.
Then Mark. And then Boris with his good old -1.
Oh, Boris.
Oh, Boris.
My God. Oh God!
Hey, yep.
I love that for you. Hey, at least I'm giving you the ability to have multiple care that you're playing multiple of my party members, so you'll be able to roll multiple times to see if you can get above a 10.
I'm keeping this in the episode, but yesterday I was playing in my Curse of Strahd campaign that I'm a player in, and I rolled a nat 1 for initiative and have a +4.
Solid.
Yeah, so. All right, so you are up first.
Okay, so as he goes to grab his dagger, I will swiftly run up to the one who has been harassing us the most.
Okay, so that would be this guy.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so 5, 10. What's up?
I was just going to say, as I'm running up, I would grab my short sword from my side.
Mm-hmm.
And draw it, and kind of in a defensive style, like hold it up with one hand and like make a fist with the other, and go to a stab, and then punch the guy straight in the face.
Oh, shit. All right. Roll for an attack, my guy.
All right. So for my short sword, it would be natural 20 plus a 6, so 26 to hit.
Yep. So do you know how I do criticals?
I do not. That was my next question.
Okay. Yeah. So you get... the max roll on one dice.
Okay.
Plus another roll, and then plus that modifier.
Awesome. So
I do cowboy crits here.
Awesome. I love it. Okay. Oh, okay. That was pretty good. So that'd be 15 in total damage.
Okay.
And then I'd go in as I stab him, I presume, like, right in the abdomen, and I just go straight up, deck him right in the face.
Oh, please do.
My bonus action.
Mm-hmm.
And that is a 20 to hit.
A dirty 20?
A dirty 20.
Yep. Yeah, that hits.
Unfortunately, it is only 5 damage as I do a full-on uppercut.
Yeah, so I'm just going to tell you this. The first hit was enough to just fucking murder this guy.
Good.
So, yeah, you run up, and he's very cocky. He's like, yeah, this short thing is coming at me, right? And with the swiftness that you have, he brings out his sword to block your swing, but you go right under it and just get him right in the gut. And he's... And as he looks down at the sword, you come up and full-on just crack him in the jaw.
Love it. I'm going to, like, look over my shoulder towards Arthur and be like, all right, do that. And that's the end of my turn.
And Arthur's just, oh. So with that, the bandits all see this, and they're like, what? And the one at the door is going to move 5, 10, 15, 20, 25, and he is going to take a swing at good old Boris.
Oh no, Boris.
No, Boris, no.
Defense.
Fucking hell. Okay. That misses.
Rip.
He goes, swings for it. Boris just, like, this guy's got a great axe.
Mm-hmm.
And comes and swings it down. Boris just grabs it and pushes it back towards him, and he kind of stumbles backwards, but very surprised by that. This guy is going to run up to Arthur, take a swing. God damn it.
I love this pretty.
Woo! With this, he runs up, but as he was in the trees, he got caught up on the vine and ends up just completely throwing his axe or his short sword past Arthur, and it just lands like around here.
This poor guy.
Yeah, this poor guy, not me. You know,
a little bit both.
These two are going to shoot. This guy's going to shoot towards Arthur, this one towards him with their crossbows. And that, let's see, does that hit Arthur? I don't think so. Oh, it does. Good. And that is, so it's it's a D8. Okay. That does not do a lot of damage.
Oh, good. Don't.
Yeah,
don't.
So Arthur is distracted by this guy that just threw his sword at him. That he doesn't see the guy behind him just lodge an arrow right into his shoulder. He just... Ah! The next guy in the corner shoots at... Nope, misses. I rolled a 3. And then this guy comes in towards... Oh, I'm turning trees. Don't mind me.
It's just remaking the map. Let's go.
Yep, it keeps spinning, and I hate it. Runs to you and tries to swing at you. Let's see here. Does a... I'm guessing a 12 doesn't hit.
You're right. I duck out of the way just in time. Okay.
This dude's just swinging frantically like, ah!
I whisper at him, you're next.
Oh, shit. All right. So, being Arthur's turn, he takes a good old swing at the guy that threw his sword, which is just wonderful. What a wonderful guy. Arthur pulls out his short sword. And as you know, he's better with a bow and arrow.
Poor.
Swings at the guy. The guy just kind of dodges out of the way, like just a quick whoo. Good old Arthur.
Poor Arthur.
And he just, ha!
Oh, God.
Mark will then turn to the guy. That's Arthur's turn, because he does not want to move.
Mm.
So, let's see. Mark will turn and cast Magic Missile at the guy that shot at him.
Okay, Mark. Yeah.
Look at Arthur. So that is a total of 2 damage, I believe. I think it's only 1 missile. Yep. Yep, just a quick pew! And it hits the guy and he just... Oh, what? Boris, getting real annoyed, turns and gets ready to lodge his axe, which I believe is also a great axe, into the guy that's standing next to him. Surprisingly, does not hit. He's not much for fighting. He does it when he needs to, but he's just ready to fight. Let's see. Before your turn starts, you do start hearing this weird, like, vibrating noise kind of around you. It seems to fade, but is staying at a low hum.
Hmm. Is it similar to the one before?
No.
Oh. Okay.
It is your turn.
Okay. When I turn to the rest of the group, be like, just do everything myself. And take a big old swing at the big axe guy right in front of me.
All right.
So that's 21 to hit.
Yep.
And okay, cool. And that is 10 damage.
10 damage. Okay.
And then is he still up, still living?
Yes. Yes, he is.
Okay. Well, then I'm going to uppercut him again as well as he was.
Oh, Jesus. A good old 1-2 hit right there.
That is not as high, though, with a 14 to hit.
That still hits.
Awesome. That's what I like to hear. And 7 damage as I punch him right in the face.
Also, knocking this guy to the ground. You can tell that the stab, it crumpled him down, and as he gets right to your level, you just reel back and punch him square in the middle of the face.
Okay.
I think in the square in the face and middle of the face is the same thing, mm-hmm. But yeah. You just right in the middle of his face, and he falls back in a pool of blood.
And that's how you do it. I'm going to go, well, I'm saying that I'm going to rush over to, as far as I can, towards Arthur.
All right. So 5, 10, 15.
I got 25 feet.
20, 25. There you go.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
And that'll be it for me.
All right. Bandit's turn. Seeing everyone, you know.
Yeah.
This one right here is going to attack good old Boris. Ooh.
Is it going to hit?
That might actually hit. It hits. Hey. Wow, Boris has low armor class and I still fucking missed. Great.
That's even worse whenever it's like super low.
Yeah. All right. That is going to be 3 points of damage. Not the worst. The one next to Arthur is going to try to just punch him,
mm-hmm.
because he doesn't have a weapon. That's going to miss. So he just swings at Arthur, who, in the best way you have seen him to date, in when you've done sparring with him, he just dodges perfectly, just right to the side. Just
you're actually picking something up, huh?
He looks very happily towards you. Once again, this one, well, this one is actually going to try and shoot at Mark. Mm-hmm. So let's do a quick thing. That arrow flies past Mark. Pew. Mark just looks at it, sees it, and he just bends backward. Just this one is going to try and shoot at you.
Ooh, okay.
Does a 21 hit?
Believe it or not, it does.
Wow. So that is, I dropped that. That is going to be 4 points of damage.
4 points of damage.
As you're running up to Arthur's aid, this arrow comes out of the forest and manages to hit you right in the shoulder. So, now it is Arthur's turn. He's going to try and make a swing at that guy. Misses, barely. let's see. I don't know why I rolled there. That was a very good roll. I wasted a roll. He is going to cast Shocking Grasp at the one that shot at him.
There we go.
Which is a hit, and that is 7 points of damage to this guy.
Sweet.
So you see Mark turn and like literally point with one finger of his robotic finger, point, and just this beam of electricity comes from it and hits the guy square in the chest. When it does this, it seems to go around his torso as if it's holding him. Let's see. I believe... Oh, it is Boris's turn. Yeah, Boris. Good old Boris.
Come on, Boris. Get the hype up. Come on. Hit him.
After missing, Boris is going to rage.
There we go. There we go, Boris.
Yes, so he is going to attack. Shit. All right, yeah, 24 hits.
There we go. That's what I like to see.
And, yeah, so you see Boris grab his axe, and you can tell he's really getting annoyed, and he turns, brings his axe over his head, and just puts it right in between the eyes of the guy that's in front of him. Pulls it back, and the guy drops.
Not too bad, Boris.
You want to make fun of my cooking again?
Nah, not this second.
So, at the... after his turn, after that little interaction, you hear that vibration noise get louder again, and all of a sudden... in a few different spots surrounding you, about here, here, and here, these tears begin to appear, and they, on the inside, is just pure darkness. Surrounding these tears is an orange aura.
Am I able to, like, does the expression of the bandits, do they look like surprised as well? Like, they don't know what's going on?
Yes. They look, they are looking at these like, oh. And right at that instance, the one that was hovering here closes, and all that bandit gets sucked up. Like, he just disappears, and his weapon drops to the ground. The one that was floating in this area closes. Boris is now gone, his axe dropping to the ground. Another one appears here, taking both Mark and that bandit with him, with it. You do hear a loud clank. Doesn't sound like a weapon, though.
Okay.
And then one right in between you and that bandit takes Arthur. Now it is just you and the bandit.
All right.
And he, like, pale as can be, just what magic is this?
I was asking you the same.
What? And he turns to look as if he's going to take off running.
I'm not gonna let him run away. I'm definitely gonna try to chase him down.
For sure. Yeah. So it is your turn.
Okay. So, well, if he looks like he's gonna run away, I'm gonna walk up to him and non-lethally, with my short sword, and then do a bonus action punch him. So for my short sword, 18 to hit.
18. Yep, that definitely hits.
And then 6 points of damage for that.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'm gonna just do a side punch as I like step. So my move is always like stab him in the gut. They like lean over, like, oh, like holding the pain. Mm-hmm. It's like just swing up and punch them while they're down.
I like it. The good old 1-2 hit.
1-2. 14 to hit on that one.
That does also hit.
Awesome. And that's 5 points of damage.
All right. And you said this was non-lethal or lethal?
Sure. Non-lethal.
All right. Once you hit him, do you have any like specific place that you punch him, or?
I'm trying to like punch him like square in the face, so like it's like a KO kind of punch as he like want to swing down. It's full on like a boxer kind of thing.
Oh hell yeah! So, perfect. Actually, that's a great way. So when you stab him, he does hunch over, as you say, and you bring your arm across and catch him right in the temple. And he just, his head turns and he falls to the ground. He's still breathing, but he is laying on the ground.
I'm going to grab the rope out of my pack and immediately try to tie him up.
For sure, yeah. And you don't need to worry about like trying to roll anything for mm-hmm. that. He is out.
Awesome. All right. While he's out for a few minutes, I want to like. So, where these bandits were hanging out in this this gate, is there like an outpost or like a something they like lived in, or like a camp somewhere they had, like just in the general area, like not actually searching, going off too far.
Oh yeah. So as you are looking around the gate, you see a it's actually fairly wide, or like. I guess deep with how big it is. So it looks like they were housed in this like, I guess, gate type thing structure.
Okay. Can I like search the bodies in the general area to see if there's anything of like note value, like any reference of, you know, what their like any notes of operations, like if they had like a boss or something, or like if they had any idea of what this magical thing was.
For sure. Yeah. So if roll an investigation, a general investigation.
Absolutely. Oof, that is a 5.
Ooh. So searching through, you aren't really able to find any letters or anything besides like the weapons that they were holding.
Well, I suppose that's it. I'll just go up to the unconscious body and like give a cold like backhand to try to wake him up.
All right, yeah, definitely. So you walk up and just. And he, what?
Now you're going to tell me what that was.
You think I know? I've never seen anything like that before.
Do I believe him?
Roll an insight check.
Okay, that is a 23.
Yeah, he is, damn, that's a good roll. He is, 100%, like, he has no fucking clue what that was.
What's your name?
What's it even matter?
What's your name?
My name is, they just called me Jim.
Jim.
Well, they call me Buckeye Jim, but I don't like it.
Yeah, I don't really care about that part. First off, Give me all your clothes.
What?
Give me your clothes.
Well, I really can't. I'm tied up.
Yes, I'm going to untie you. You're going to give me your clothes. And I'm going to tie you back up. I'm going to leave you here. And I'm going to walk away.
What?
You are of no use to me, but you have still attacked me. You do not get away with this so easily.
Jesus, you are savage.
At this moment, from the trees behind you, you hear some rustling.
Is that more and, of friends then?
What? No, that was all of us. And as you turn, do you turn to look?
Yeah, I'll look up.
All right, yeah. So suddenly a man with long brown hair like tumbles and falls like on his face through the underbrush. He is not wearing clothes that are at all similar to the bandits. He is wearing a more regal set of leather armor with a like a pin type engraving on his chest. It looks like a massive grin. And as he's standing up, you see this, and he just looks at you like, "Hello."
I don't really like hold up my short sword in his direction.
No need for that. Wow, you did a number to these men.
Who are you?
Yes. My name is Orvel, but most just call me Orvi. I'm just going through areas surrounding Black Hollow in order to warn them of the rifts that are opening up again.
The rifts.
Yes, if you recall the collapse that happened many, many years ago.
Do I remember the collapse?
Yeah, so the collapse was an event that happened anywhere from 800 to like 1500 years ago. Okay. From the stories that you've heard. And being in an elven community, you actually get it more direct to like around 1000 years.
Okay.
It's an event where these rifts started opening up throughout Anai, and they would drop things from the different dimensions, whether that be the Feywilds or the Nine Hells or the any of the Outer Planes. And when it first happened, it was chaos, but then they closed, and humanity really rebuilt from that. They found creatures that were once extinct are around again. Races of people are more common than they normally are. Okay. Like the more out there races like Dragonborns and Tabaxi and all that.
Hmm. Did you watch all that then?
All of what?
Were you here for the fight that just happened?
No, I just I was wandering off that direction, and I heard that sound, that strange sound, and I immediately ran here.
Tell me, Orvi, this collapse. I know a bit about it, but some of my companions were sucked away by something in the sky, or I don't know how to explain it, but they were sucked away. Is that what this is?
I've never heard of anyone taken by them, but I suppose it's possible if these rifts opened up in different dimensions and took things and people, I imagine it could do the reverse. I'm unsure. All I know is my patron informed me that the collapse may be upon us again, and it's people need to be warned.
Where is your master, boss or whatever?
Well, he's not a simple, I guess, person. He's he's an archfey, and he does speak to me, but I have met him. He is in the northern region of Anai.
Right. Do you know who I go about to find out more information about this? I was an important job with one of those companions.
Mm.
And I very much need him alive, unfortunately.
Yes, of course. I'm actually setting out warning the individuals in the area, as I said. I'm telling them to go to Black Hollow, and I'm hoping that the more capable ones will meet me at the inn there, and perhaps we can get to the bottom of this.
Well, I suppose that's what I have to do.
Oh, that would be wonderful. There's only one inn in Black Hollow, and that's where they are all. I'm having them meet.
What's this inn called?
It's called the Fancy Ferret. I know it's a silly name, but I didn't create the establishment.
Right. And that's the only one in town?
Yes, it is.
All right. And how long are you going to take? Am I supposed to wait at this inn for you to come?
It shouldn't be much more than a day. As soon as I've warned everyone in the surrounding areas, I will be there, like immediately, post haste, if you will.
All right, I'll meet you at this Fancy Ferret Inn, I suppose.
Wonderful. I'm going to be off then. I have a lot of work to do.
As do I. I'll kind of look at this the bandit on the ground.
Who is just kind of sitting there like, what the fuck is happening? So Orvi runs off up the path where you came from and stops and goes, is this yours? And bends down, picks up, and it's the head of Mark.
I just bought that.
And as he points it to you, the eyes glow orange, and it's the little, what you could assume to be pupils. Hello? Oh, Master, hello.
Great. The most unfortunate part of Mark survived. Mark, great, you're operational.
Yes, although I'm getting this strange sensation where my body feels a different temperature than my head. Is that normal?
No. I'm afraid we'll have to make some modifications to your body so that my chill will be usable and workable again.
Oh, very well. My body feels very... Something just touched my arm.
Well, you can still feel your body.
Yes. Something is touching my arm.
Interesting. And he, like, tries to turn his head, but obviously he can't, and he's like, what is happening?
This is very interesting. I just ignore it for now. I suppose we'll figure it out in time, Mark. I'll go up to Orvi and, take the head of Mark from him.
You can add head of Mark to your inventory.
Put him like under my arm like a basketball.
All right.
Mark.
Yes.
Tell me that before the battle begin, either you or Boris put all of my stuff somewhere else. I have my stuff personally, but not all of our stuff. Like the pots and the pans and all this other...
I believe that is still with Boris in his pack.
Oh. And he's just kind of looking off to the side because he can't turn his head.
I've never been this low before, sir.
Don't talk to me anymore.
Yes, sir.
Just like kind of rubbing my head like, God. Is Is Orly gone?
Orby. He is like looking back, but he's starting to look like he's inching away.
Mark, this is quite the predicament we're in.
Why do you say that, sir?
Well, we are missing two of our companions, all of our stuff, and I have the worst part of you in my hands.
That is quite the predicament.
Yes. And then we also have this. I'll just point to the bandit title.
Like, take the head down.
This seems like a simple case of leave him tied up. Yes?
But the problem is I do want my rope back. Because I don't have many items anymore. All right, Jim. You have found yourself in a lucky day.
Is that right?
Yeah, I'm going to untie you. I'll still take your clothes, but you won't be tied up.
Okay.
I'll untie him.
Right. He like starts to take off his tunic and he's like, "You're serious?"
Nah, just your shoes.
Okay. And then he takes off both of his boots and puts them in front of him.
Any gold? Any coin?
Over in the gate, there's, once you open it, you can see, the chest where we keep our gold that we haven't spent.
Now, Jim, if I ever cross paths with you again, I better not have to pay a toll.
Honestly, the boss was a dick. I'm thinking this door's staying open.
Yeah, that is right. And if I ever do cross paths with you again, Jim. You see those hands that you have?
Yes.
You won't for much longer.
Oh. Okay.
I also love that this is like a little halfling.
Yeah, just fucking look at holding a fucking robot's head and just staring this guy down. He's okay.
Oh, all right. Well, goodbye.
Goodbye. And he just takes off.
So I got gym shoes, and I'll go see if I can find any coin.
Sounds good. Yeah. So you enter the barrack thing that they had, the gate. And right where he said it was, there is a chest. And in the chest is about 150 gold.
Well, they actually didn't do too bad, surprisingly. Definitely pocket that.
Oh, yeah, 100. Yeah, definitely. So,
I'm definitely a little annoyed that I actually have to carry this, though.
Oh, yeah, for sure. So, anything else you want to do before you head out?
No, I think I'm good. I would annoyingly start my walk alone with Mark's head.
with Mark's head.
Yep.
All right. Yeah. You continue. Mark stays quiet unless you talk to him.
I won't.
Fair enough. And yeah, so you keep heading forward, not talking, full silence. You keep walking, and you don't really see anybody. You can kind of surmise at this point that those bandits were actually what was keeping the road so empty, because nobody wanted to pay this fucking toll.
Well, obviously, at least one or two people like paid an installment.
Yes, they're just like, here you go. yeah, you are able to make it into town. Go through. It is a small it's a small caravan village with houses that seem to be built spotted throughout. There are a few like small shops lining the main street, and some like stalls, I guess, where you can see other things are like where they set up shop for the day.
Mm-hmm.
And so yeah, approaching the inn, you notice the shield-shaped sign with a ferret wearing a top hat and a monocle, and the words inscribed "The Fancy Ferret."
Okay.
Do you enter, or is there anything you want to do before entering?
With a deep sigh, I will enter.
All right. So you push through the door, and upon entering, you see a few patrons seated at various tables, some in groups, others drinking alone. Let's see. There's also a group of individuals gathered around a makeshift stage for what appears to be a performance of some sort.
Mm-hmm.
What would you like to do?
I'll go up to the bar and see if there's a seat by the bar, and then presumably to go talk to the barkeep.
Yes. So you manage to climb up into the seat because it is normal size, normal people sized. And the innkeeper is there, and he is cleaning a mug, and he walks over to you. Can I help you with anything?
Set like Mark's head on the table.
Right.
First things first. Do you have anything that people that fix these? Anyone in town?
Not currently, but being a caravan village, somebody may come up.
All right. Do you know someone named Orvi?
Orvi. That name. That name's been coming up recently.
Weird fellow. Talks about the collapse a lot.
Yeah, he's got that weird, like, smiley face on his,
Yep. That'd be the one.
Yeah, that elven fellow, right?
Yeah, that'd be the one. Do you know much about him?
Nope. He came into town, I want to say, a week ago after the weird, that odd storm that came through, and he was preaching about how his, what did he call the brooch's grin is something like that. The brooch's grin is prophesized the collapse, and, nobody was paying attention to him. One of those crazy prophets, you know?
Precisely. Has anyone else, come seeking anything about him?
No, I mean, one of our hunters nearby came recently asking about weird folk coming through, so maybe her, but she's not the talkative type, so.
quite frankly, neither am I right now. I'll take your stiffest drink.
Very well. As I can tell, he motions towards Mark's head and goes, I see you've had a long day.
Yes. You could say that.
Very well. All right. Here's your drink, and you know what? Usually this is like a silver piece, but let's call it five copper.
I will give him 6.
All right. He holds it up. Appreciate it. All right. So you do you stay at the bar, or are you moving to a table?
As he comes by with the drink, I would ask him where this the hunter, the woman hunter that inquired about Orvi is, if he knows.
Yeah, and he points right over at the over towards the window, and you can see this orcish half orc type woman wearing a face mask that covers up to, like, around her cheeks and over her nose. She's also wearing a long wooden, or not wooden, a long leather cloak with the hood up. It looks like homemade, like she made it herself. And she's just sitting there looking around, just kind of scanning the room. She's got a mug of mead.
Great. More common folk. Why can't I get a break? All right. I'm just going to, like, chug whatever he gave me
Mm-hmm. It was a mead, but a more like fruitful, stronger mead than most taverns have.
And I'll start making my way towards that table then.
All right. Well, with that, that is where we'll end today's session.
Hey.
Hey. thank you once again, Nick.
Absolutely, absolutely. Thank you for having me. I super enjoyed this.
Sweet. I'm so glad to hear that. I was like, I don't know if this is going to work. But yeah, so I have to do Nikki's and Harley's session. I just name dropped both of the other players. I'm pretty sure everybody knows at this point. But
spoiler alert.
Yeah, spoiler alert. So I've still got to do Nikki's session, which will be the next session. And then after that will be Harley's. And the session after that will be all of us coming together.
Sweet.
So, yeah, it'll be a few months before we are, or you're back in here. But I hope we get back into it. I'll try my best to describe what happened so everybody can get that reminder.
I'll be in here in spirit.
Yes, definitely.
Well, thank you very much, man. And I look forward to the months to come.
Yeah, thank you. And I hope they're fruitful in enjoyment.
As do I, man.
So thank you, everybody, for listening. Yeah, all of our stuff is in our link tree, which is in the show notes below, above, wherever it is. I hope to make some merch related to the Button Masher's Realm. So hopefully that'll come out soon. And also links to Nick's YouTube and specifically those videos where I was a player. And anything else he wants me to plug will also be in the show notes. Yeah, so with that, thank you guys. Keep on turning pages, mashing buttons, and rolling dice. See you next time.
Bye.